The following is a special announcement for listeners of the Where is God's Word program with Bruce Musselman. On the morning of May 15th, Brother Bruce Musselman went home to be with the Lord following a short illness. His last new radio program aired just 8 days before his passing. Please join me in praying for the Musselman family and Bruce's friends and colleagues. For now and the next couple of months, we will be airing classic Bruce Musselman programs from our archives. We trust you will be edified and encouraged by these vintage programs. Now, let's join this week's edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantua Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, I'm so glad you tuned in today. It's another day that the Lord has given us. The Bible says, let us rejoice and be glad in it. And it's getting close to another Christmas. Some people don't like Christmas because they talk about the commercialism and so on, but I like Christmas because it talks about, it's the songs about the Lord Jesus, and we concentrate on the Lord Jesus, which is the source of all joy, the source of all peace, the source of everything that's wonderful and good. So I hope that you have Christ in Christmas, and these Scrooges are trying to take out Jesus out of Christmas, and they don't like it. But I'll tell you one thing, they're not rejoicing while they're doing it, and they're miserable. And sometimes miserable people want to share their misery. And so we'll just rejoice in this wonderful time of the year in which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is honored and glorified in the tremendous songs that are being sung. But one of the great stories in the Bible is found in Luke chapter 2. It's a great Christmas story, and it's read so many times. And I think we'll just start and read some of the verses in this story and then comment on it, because actually this story is one of the greatest messages, the greatest news that man has ever received. And it starts in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And so this message here that is given to these shepherds was given at a time when it was a dark night. And it was a dark night for Israel because the Romans had conquered the country and they were paying taxes to a foreign government. And there was a lot of evil going on. Herod the king was a murderer, and there was a lot of things that could have made their life miserable. We live in a time when we can say that it is a dark night in the world today because of the chaos that's going on, and more and more countries getting nuclear bombs, and they say that these things can be brought in crates into the country and even can blow up cities, and as time goes on, things seem to be getting worse. But we as Christians know that as time is moving on, it's moving to its conclusion. And the conclusion is that the Lord Jesus Christ will be ruling in the city of Jerusalem over the whole world. And he is coming back for his saints, and then we will come back and rule and reign with him. Now, these shepherds, they had gone out night after night, and it was, I suppose the life sometimes could be boring. And to some people, they have tried everything, but their life is boring. But I tell you, that night, the Bible says that suddenly the skies opened and they looked into eternity and they saw the glory of the Lord. And that's what people need to say today. That's what makes life exciting. That's what makes it wonderful and interesting. The Bible says, we all beholding the glory of the Lord are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And when a person is depressed and when they're down, they can go to church and they can listen to the music and they can listen to the preaching of the glory of the Lord. And their whole emotional life is changed as they think about it. And there's been times when I've been down and depressed and I've gone to church and I've listened to the music, listened to the preaching about Christ, and my soul and my heart and was lifted up, and the problems that I had seemed to be reduced to a molehill. At the beginning, they were like a mountain. And I'm telling you that looking at Jesus Christ and seeing his glory will change everything. Life no longer will be boring. Life no longer will be full of sorrow. But when we see the glory of the Lord and we concentrate on that, our life will be changed. And so that night they saw the glory of the Lord, and nothing was ever it was the same after that time, because they had seen the God of heaven. They had seen his glory. Now this message also was a message of fear not. And the angel told them, it said, fear not. And when man first fell into sin, before that time he had been walking hand in hand with his Creator. And do you think that there was anything to be afraid of when you were walking hand in hand with the Creator in the Garden of Eden? There was not. But when there was a separation between God and between Adam and Eve, then they were afraid, and they said they were afraid. And ever since that time, man has been afraid. He's afraid of losing his job. He's afraid of sickness. He's afraid of death. He's afraid of the future. He's full of fear. But I tell you that when your life is connected once again to the Creator of this universe and you are walking hand in hand with him, you don't have to be afraid. And when the Creator of the universe, the one that has all power in heaven and earth, says fear not to you, you don't need to be afraid. And that is a message in a time. We don't have to be afraid because Jesus is with us. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And then it was a message of good news. Someone has said that if a person is feeling down, maybe they need to just turn off the news for a number of weeks and not listen to all the chaos that is going on in the world today. The message of the angel was a message of good news. When we read in the Word of God, if we're born again, if we're saved, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's good news for us always. And the news is that God loves us. Everything in the New Testament tells us, every chapter tells us how to love God and how to love our fellow man. But it also tells us that God loves us. And he gives us the Bible to tell us of his love to us. You know, in Romans chapter 8, it has a wonderful passage. And Paul says this about the love of God to us as human beings. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Some people believe if you really repented and been born again and saved that you could lose your salvation. But that verse tells us that God's love will never leave us as saved people. And Paul says, he that hath begun a good work, and you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, God saved us in the beginning, and he said, I'll take you through to the end. I'll see that you make it to heaven. And so it is a message of good news in the Bible. And I'm telling you, if you're down today, and I have experienced this many times, and I've been down, and I just open up the Bible and read it, and there's times where the depression has been replaced with a little bit of heaven in my soul. And if God has done it for me, he can do it for you. And not only for me, but he has done it for millions of people. And so it is a message of good news. And then it is a message of great joy to all people. In chapter 2, verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So it is a message of great joy. I was over at Kmart some years ago, and over on Broadway when they had it there, and They were singing on the radio. They were playing Christmas carols. And as you listen to those Christmas carols, your heart is full of joy. Why? Because those carols were about Jesus Christ. And when you hear songs about Jesus Christ, automatically your heart is full of joy. And I mentioned to one of the clerks, I said, well, it sure makes you feel good to listen to that. And she said, that's right. And millions of people know that when we talk about Jesus, when we listen to songs about Jesus, we have a taste of what heaven is going to be like. We have joy in the soul, in our soul. And I tell you, if you're full of misery and sorrow now, start talking about Jesus. Start thinking about him. Start listening to music. Just turn on the music. Not Christmas music, but music about Jesus Christ at Christmas time. And God will put joy in your heart and in your soul. And then it's the message of a Savior in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And it's a message of a Savior. You know, man, most of mankind in their religion and their thinking, they're hoping if their good works outweigh their bad that maybe they'll make it in. And so they never know where they're going when they die. But when you receive Jesus Christ, Jesus' good works cover you. He lived a perfect life, and when you receive him, God counts his perfect life to you, and then he counts your sin to him. You can't find a better deal than that. I think sometimes the promises God has given to us, no man could even make them up. It's so wonderful and so good. And so today, you tell Jesus in a simple prayer. It says, take words and come to God. And say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. You died for my sins. You rose from the dead. And I receive you as my Lord, as my, that is, my master, my boss, and my God, and my Savior. And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, that's not to the church, that's not to sacraments or being baptized or communion. That's going right directly to Jesus, which you can do in a prayer because he's everywhere. He says, I will in no wise cast out. That's simple English for saying under no circumstance, for no reason, will I ever kick you out. I mean, you can't get anything more wonderful than that. And you can look to the fact that when you die, the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know, I think sometimes some of you are doubting your salvation. And you say, am I really saved? Well, if you've accepted Christ, God's word says you're saved and you've got to believe it. The demons in hell will come and tell you, they'll say, you're not really saved and try to put misery in your heart and soul. Well, if you've accepted Christ, you're saved. And the devil says to Jesus when he's being tempted, if thou art the Son of God. Imagine that. He's questioning Jesus and that he's the Son of God. Well, if he said it to Jesus, don't you think he'll say it to you? And so the Bible says, as many as received him. Did you receive him? It says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So think about that. Believe God's word and rejoice. It's a message of a Savior. We don't save ourselves. A church doesn't save us. Sacraments don't save us. Baptism and communion don't save us. A religious experience doesn't save us. Jesus Christ is our Savior. And thank God for Jesus. So it says in verse 11, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And we accept him, Jesus, as the Son of God, but as our Lord. That's repentance. That means we're willing to turn from sin, turn from being our own God, to accepting Jesus as our God. And that means he has the right to tell us what to do. And so then we're saved, and we can rejoice in salvation. And if we die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know, the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. If you lose your job, God will work that for good. If you keep your job, God will work that for good. If you get sick, God will work that for good. If you have an enemy, God will work that for good. If you have a friend, God will work that for good. If you die, God will work that for good. You know, you can't be a loser because God is going to work everything in your life for good. You will go through trials and temptations, but thank God it'll bring you out. We'll take a short break and then we'll continue.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
All right, God bless you, and it's good to be with you once again today. And at the end of the program, announcer will make an announcement and tell you where you can get a sheet of paper that gives 100 places where Jesus is kicked out of the modern versions of the Bible, such as the New ASV or the NIV. I can't understand why any Christian would use a Bible that throws Jesus out in 100 places. And somebody says, well, the translators were good Christians. Yes, but they got it from a corrupt text. And you could see that the people that put the fictitious text out didn't like Jesus, or they wouldn't have thrown him out of the Bible. And you say, well, where is that? See, we have on this paper, we have 100 places, and we give the exact reference. So you can get your, if you got a corrupt modern version of the Bible, you can get it out and check it. Check those places and see that it is out. We can prove what we say here. Okay, we're talking about the greatest message ever given. And in verse 12 of Luke chapter 2, it's a message of crucifixion. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You know, they would wrap clothes around a person when they died. And then they would put them in the tomb after they had wrapped them in these clothes. And so this baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And I believe that it is a picture of the fact that Jesus came to die. Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. See, God loves us, and he showed it. He sends the sunshine. He sends the rain. He gives us friends. He gives us a house. He gives us children, he gives us relatives, he gives us everything that is good. And finally, because man is a sinner, God's law says that the wages of sin is death. But God in his love says, I'll come down out of heaven and I will be punished in your place. That's his final act of love. Jesus says, what greater love is there than a man lay down his life for his friend? And he said, I came to lay down my life. I'm punished in your place. You know, people hear about Jesus dying, and I've heard people tell me, I say, why did he die? They say, well, he died to open heaven's door, and they say he died for our sins. And they could say that, but they don't understand what it means. If he died for our sins, he was punished for every sin we ever committed, and we will no longer be punished for those sins. Now you say, what about a Christian? Well, in this life, if we do what's wrong and we continue, God disciplines us, but he doesn't punish us. Jesus was punished for our sins 2,000 years ago. And there's only one thing that a Christian can look forward to, and that is the Bible says that he is able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That is, we will meet God with joy. We met him with sin in our soul. There'd be no joy there, but thank God. God says, your sins and iniquities I will remember against you no more. You ought to read Hebrews chapter 10 if you doubt this. And so Jesus Christ died for our sins. That means he paid for them, and therefore we will not be facing them. They will be not be brought up against us. And then it's a message of peace and goodwill to men. In verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. God has goodwill towards men. This whole program in this world is so that man will come to God and become a part of God's family. God is making up a great family. And if you don't want to be in it, you don't have to be, but you'll spend eternity separated from God in hell. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So you can turn down God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So you could turn him down or you could receive him. And you receive him, you say, Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead. And you can have eternal life with God. God has said it's a message of peace. He has goodwill to you. Peace with God means Your sins have been paid for. God is no longer angry at you. He wants you to be a part of his family, and he's going to share everything he has with you. And even one day, the Bible says, you will sit on his throne with him. And everything that he has, you will have, because you will be his child. It says, as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I repeated it the second time so you understand it. You can be God's child today. And why don't you do that? Now the shepherds said, let us go to Bethlehem. They said this baby was born in Bethlehem. Our Christian religion is based on infallible proof, and it's historical. It's not like Santa Claus, but it's based on history. And we celebrate our time. It's 2010. We're going into 2011, and that means it's 2011 since the time that God came into the earth and was born in Bethlehem. The Bible says many years before Jesus came in the book of Micah, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be the least among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth who shall rule my people Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Jesus didn't begin in Bethlehem. He always was. He's the eternal God. He's from everlasting. But he took on a human body 2,000 years ago. And they say, let us go. Millions have said, let us go to Jesus. Why don't you say that today? And it says they came with haste. You say, well, I'll do it someday. Many people, they say, when they're a child, I'll do it. I'll do it when I get to be a teenager. And when they're a teenager, I'll do it when I get to be a young man. When I'm a young man, I'll do it when I'm get things settled. But they never do, and they die without God. It says they came with haste. Why don't you do it right now? When they found Jesus, they spoke about him to people. And when you find Jesus, you can't help talking about him. I'm telling you, nothing will shut you up. When you found Jesus, you found the creator of the universe. Really, he's found you. And then you glorify God. When you think about Jesus, how he created the universe, and how he loves you, and how he is coming back from you, and how he will take you to heaven, you can't help but glorify God and tell people about how wonderful he is. This Christmas, you need to give your testimony. You need to tell people what God has done for you. And God will bless you for it. Your life will be full of joy and full of peace. I hope that you have a marvelous and wonderful Christmas. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.